Welcome to Nana's Knitting Podcast, Episode 3, coming to you from San Joaquin Valley in Central California. I would like to start out by saying thank you to those of you who took the time to send emails and leave comments. I really appreciate it. I came across looking through, I always look at the magazine rack just for knitting magazines, and last Saturday I saw the August issue of Knit and Style on the rack and decided I would like to purchase it and look through it. This is the first time I had looked at a Knit and Style, and I was just thrilled to find so many wonderful patterns. I've been looking for the last 2 months for a pattern for a short sleeve knit top, and I just had never found any that I fit what I was looking for. And there were two patterns in this issue that I liked very, very much. There was just this beautiful shoulder scarf. To me, it was a very sensible shoulder scarf, yet very elegant. It was done in 60% merino wool, superwash, 25% mohair, 15% nylon. Also, there is a shrug called a stone soup shrug pattern that will really work perfect for me. It's not something just for the younger generation. I think anyone could use a shrug, and it looks like it would just take no time to knit up. Hopefully I can start on some of these patterns soon. I still have quite a few things on the needles. I'm coming along with the shawl, and still the poor socks are still neglected, sitting there waiting. But I think I'm going to not worry about them right at this time and continue with the shawl and maybe start on a couple of other things. Back on Mother's Day, I received a couple of balls of bamboo yarn in a very pretty shade of pink, and I've just had them sitting in my basket and admiring them and picking them up and just enjoying how soft they are. But I decided they need to come to life, and I needed to do something with them. And I guess after giving it a lot of thought, I've pretty well decided on making a scarf. And I'm doing my own pattern, making up my own pattern as I go. And when it's finished, I will post a picture of it on my blog, Nana's Knitwits, and possibly put the pattern on a podcast. I had been thinking about how yarn is processed. Every time I am knitting, I give a lot of thought to what all the steps taken to get the yarn to the point that it is when I purchase it. And then that reminded me of family history research I've done, and one particular ancestor would keep coming to mind. Back in the 1600s, this one ancestor I found was a weaver in England. Later generation, his son was a weaver in Massachusetts in the 1700s. And some of the research showed that some of his family had built a large wool processing mill in Ticonderoga, New York, in the 1800s. And I've heard that part of the family raised merino sheep in Vermont in the 1800s. I got to thinking about all of it and decided I wanted to do a little research on wool mills, factories, etc. There's probably many of you that already have or do know about this subject, but I found it interesting to research. I had not realized that there were separate mills for each step involved. For instance, the carding mills that combed raw wool to prepare it for the spinning, Then the fulling mills washed and sized the wool fiber or woolen cloth, and the mill and factory actually referred to two different parts of the wool process. Mill prepares the fiber, fulling, carding, dyeing, etc., where a factory takes the spun yarn and on a mechanical loom weaves it into cloth. Also, I learned about shoddy mills, which were used wool was reprocessed. And I guess there was a machine invented in the 1840s to rework wool, rags, and felt. I would like to share with you a couple of links that I found of interest and fun. One is familyfun.com under the crafts section. They have a project on to make knitting needles from chopsticks, and it just looks like it'd be a fun thing to do with young children, grandchildren, young teens maybe. These websites I will have links posted on my blog for you. Also, American Red Cross Museum has several knitting patterns from World War I, World War II. I think there's a half a dozen at least there that you can download and print out. And they were really of interest to me, and maybe some of you that already maybe don't know about it would like to check out. I also visited a link, AucklandMuseum.com, and found a very interesting article and photo. The article, Knitting for Victory, a knitted blanket that was knitted probably at the end of World War II. This blanket was recently purchased at an auction. It was one of two blankets found stuffed inside a pillowcase, part of an estate which had belonged to an elderly woman some 15 years ago. The blanket is just really interesting to look at, and I thought you might possibly enjoy checking that out. I will have links for these on my blog. You can go to nanasknitwits.blogspot.com, or you can go to nananit.podomatic.com and find a link to the blog. Or you can email me, nananit, N-A-N-A-K-N-I-T, @podomatic.com, and I would be happy to answer your emails. I would love to hear from you. In closing this podcast, I would like to thank my grandson, Dusty, for the music he provided that I played at the beginning of the podcast, and thank each and every one of you for listening and being interested. I wish you all a great day and nifty knitting.